Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Indians GM Mike Chernoff is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mike, it seems like there's been, you know, I think a lot of fans, myself included, you know I'm a huge baseball fan, have been frustrated by the lack of action early in the offseason. I think it's a little busier this year. We've seen Cole Hamels go to the Braves today, Zach Wheeler go to the Phillies. Do you think it's a little picking up a little bit? And if so, why, compared to the last 2 years?
Yeah, I can answer the first question. It feels like it is picking up a lot, actually.
Yes.
The last 2 years, it was, you'd sort of have these false starts, but then it was really slow.
Right.
And we didn't see much action at all up until, you know, late December, a couple things happened, and then even into January and February.
Right.
This year, it definitely seems different. We saw some action early on, right as we were at GM meetings or right after it. And we're seeing some of these big signings happen even prior to winter meetings. So it definitely seems that the pace has picked up in terms of signings. We're feeling the same thing, in the phone call volume and frequency that we're getting this year. To answer your second question of why, I don't know. I think, some of it is just dependent on where teams are positioned and what they're looking to do, but, you know, it could be a whole host of factors.
I know this has changed over the years. It didn't just happen overnight, but it's been more and more trending in this direction in recent years, that with these free agent contracts, guys are more often now, a lot of times, being paid based on what you and the other GMs out there think guys are going to do more than what they've done. Is that fair to say that that's more the case now than it used to be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 10, 15 years ago, so I started 16 years ago.
Yeah.
I definitely think at that time there was less analysis done in terms of thinking about how precise of a quantification of a guy's performance you'd see in the future, right? You never know what the future is going to hold.
Sure.
But when you're building projections, you're trying to more accurately project out what's going to happen in the future. A lot of that was very subjective when I first got in, and so I think there was a lot of, if the guy performed well in the past, he'd continue to perform well. And so you were paying for what looked like past performance.
Right.
I think this is happening everywhere in the business world, not just in baseball, but as we get more data and as we get better at analyzing that data, I think teams have focused more on what are the indicators of future performance,
right,
and how do we make sure we're paying for those things instead of just paying for what the guy did.
Yeah, which is why I think a lot of people see Zach Wheeler, 5 years, $118 million, a guy who had his injury issues, hasn't been a great pitcher for the Mets, and some people are like, why the hell did they pay him almost $25 million a year? And I look at it and I say, yeah, I see all kinds of potential with this guy, and I can understand why the Phillies would want to steal him from the Mets and pay him that money.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I'm not going to come in on any specific player, but you have guys that, like, with a guy like him, you could say, hey, it's a fresh arm. He hasn't been used as much. There's a ton of upside still in there. When he does pitch, you know, the performance is really high. I think when you look at any player like that, you're thinking about what can he do for us in the future, super young, you know, not necessarily just let me pay for the 800 last innings that he threw or whatever it is.
Mike, what's the status of Kluber and Carrasco as we head into the next season?
Yeah, both of them are doing great. You know, obviously we faced a ton of adversity last year. It was amazing for us to be able to watch us pull through that. And so guys like that who missed big portions of the season, or even Clevinger who missed big portions of the season, we saw some of our young pitchers step in and take advantage of opportunities. We're hoping that doesn't happen next year, and I think we're on track for that. Both of those guys are having great off seasons. You know, Kluber is actually ahead of schedule in terms of just his typical off season programming. You know, Tito talked about it a little bit at the end of the year. It obviously hurt us last year to not have him, but in some ways it's a blessing in disguise that he didn't pitch as many innings. He had really hauled a ton of innings over the past few years. So hopefully his body got a little bit of a break, and I think he's feeling really good heading into the off season. And in terms of Carrasco, he's on a typical off-season program. Obviously dealt with a lot with the cancer diagnosis last year, but seems to be doing really well and having a pretty normal off-season.
You know, obviously, Mike, you guys have tremendous depth, which you needed last year in your starting rotation. That is clearly your biggest area of strength as a roster. Are you likely to use some part of that starting pitching depth, whether it's at the top end or maybe the less proven end with some of the young guys you have? You added Logan Allen to go with Savali, who looked great last year, and Plesac and some of these other guys. Are you likely to take from that major strength and use it to improve the other areas of the team?
Should I hit the replay button from last offseason on the conversations we had? Look, we feel really good about our rotation, and that is the strength of our team.
Yes.
If you rewind to last offseason, it was the same thing.
Sure.
We had a lot of discussions. When you have good starting pitching, teams come after that starting pitching. That's a good problem to have. Makes for tough decisions, but it's a good problem to have. We went through the whole offseason not sure if we were going to trade one of those guys, you know, and looking to find ways to improve our team in the best way possible for the present and future. Ended up not trading any of them heading into the 2019 season. Obviously, we made the Trevor Bauer trade midway through the year in a slightly different set of circumstances. I think as we head into 2020, we don't take lightly that this is the strength of our team and that we want to build around it.
Right.
At the same time, we know we have to build teams differently. And so if there is a way for us to improve our position for both the present and future, we have to at least explore that. And because of how good some of those starters were, we obviously get a ton of calls on them. So that could potentially be one avenue. But, you know, much like last year, I'm not sure anything will actually happen on that front.
We're talking with Indians GM Mike Chernoff. Mike, obviously the fans are talking a lot about Francisco Lindor. He is their favorite player for most people. He is a great player. He represents all that is great about Major League Baseball. There's no weakness in his game. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But baseball is a big business, and he, in a couple of years, is going to be a free agent, and he's going to make, I don't know, $350 million, $400 million. I don't know how much it's going to be, but it's going to be one of the biggest contracts, maybe the biggest contract in the history of baseball. Can Francisco Lindor stay with the Indians? Is it possible to get him locked up long term?
Do you want to put my son on the phone for that question?
if he wants to answer, we're happy to have it. Yes.
Look, he is a great player. He is an incredible teammate. He is the face of our franchise. I mean, this is a tremendous talent, and we want him to be here for his entire career. Now, you know, he's been here over the years, and we've talked contract with him in the past, and obviously we have a lot of discussions with a lot of different players. I can't tell you what's going to happen. He's not under a long-term contract right now. Mm-hmm. But I think we all have the same desire. My sense is that he has the same desire and that he would like to be here too. Can something be worked out? I don't know. And until we have a contract in hand, we're never going to say anything. But, you know, we obviously all have the same desires and would love for that to happen.
Will he be here at the beginning of the season, at least?
Yeah, I can't tell you that on any player either. You know, it's a similar thing to our starting pitching that you were asking about.
Right.
When you have great players, they get asked about.
Sure.
And there's a lot more speculation in the media on all of these things than any truth to those things. At the same time, if the phone stops ringing, you know you're in trouble because you don't have good enough players. So,
right.
You know, we have an obligation to listen to any trade conversation that comes up to explore alternatives, to make sure that we're thinking about the present and future of the organization. But we had a 93-win team last year.
Right.
We have nearly everybody coming back for 2020. You know, we want to make sure that we remain competitive both for the present and the future and feel like we have a really strong team in place to be able to do that. So our focus is on how do we make sure we do that. You know, there's all sorts of iterations of different deals we could make or guys we could trade or guys we could trade for or whatever that is. We want to make sure we're thinking about both the present and future and building off of the success that we've had the past few years.
Mike, it was a disappointing end of the season for Kip as he had the injury, but, you know, free agent now. Any chance you guys bring him back on, you know, a small deal, minor league contract?
So we definitely have a hole at second base, right? We have a bunch of young players.
You thought about that for a second there, Mike.
Well, I'm not going to comment on any free agent.
I get you.
Because we can't do that. I think we would like to fill that hole at second base. We feel like there are some young guys where if we had to turn internally, it would be a good opportunity to give them, and hopefully they could take advantage of that. At the same time, there's a large number of guys out there on this market, and so we are actively exploring that market. And Kip is obviously a part of that. So, you know, you could see scenarios where we have a reunion with him. But we just want to stay open-minded and try to put the best team forward that we can and feel like that is definitely an area that we would like to target and try to improve upon.
Mike, I've suggested a couple times in recent weeks that it might make sense to move Jose, considering your best prospect is a third baseman, and it doesn't seem like he's that far away. I mean, we'll see how he does in the beginning of this year, but it seems like it's possible Nolan Jones could be in the big leagues by at some point in 2020. I don't know if you're thinking that. That's what I'm thinking as a fan. Would it make sense with him being a third baseman to move Jose Ramirez to second base proactively this season?
Jose is open-minded to playing second or third. You know, and we do feel really good about Nolan Jones. He's a really good young player with a tremendous bat who has a chance to be an impact type of guy. Unbelievable worker. You know, a lot of indicators for future success. But I don't think you ever want to bank on a young player as you're building your team. I think what we want to think about is what's best for the present, knowing that Jose is open-minded and fully capable of going to either of those positions. I think we need to take a little bit more time this offseason to see where we end up with the major league players on our team before we determine whether Jose can go to second or third. Most importantly, we feel totally comfortable with him at either one, and he's indicated to us that he is totally comfortable going to either one of those positions.
You talked about a hole at second. I mean, if you look at the free agent market, without specific names, wouldn't you agree the third base market is much better than the second base market if you were going to do a veteran stopgap at one of those positions?
There's a lot of players available at either second or third, and I guess the benefit for us is that we can just evaluate that market as one.
Sure.
Right? Whatever is the best deal or the best value for us at either of those positions, it almost doesn't matter. So it opens up a lot of possibilities because Jose is willing to go to either position, which when you think about it, for a guy like him, an MVP caliber player, that's a pretty cool thing and a huge, you know, team first mentality for him to be willing to do that.
What's the plan for Franmil Reyes? You know, is there a plan to, you know, play him some in the outfield or just DH?
So I think, you know, Franmil, obviously, his strength is his power and his bat.
No doubt.
He expressed to us at the end of the season that he's interested in getting in better physical shape so that he could contribute more in the outfield. That would align with what we would hope also. I don't know that he would be an everyday outfielder for us or that we even need to build for that option. But to be able to have a guy who can go and play the outfield capably and physically be able to handle that workload if he has to play a few days in a row, that's huge for us. It just gives Tito additional flexibility as he puts the lineup out there every day. So Franmil's actually been great. He has been going to our Dominican complex a couple of times a week, working out. He's been both doing some baseball work and some physical work. We're hopeful that he'll come into spring training in a really good spot physically to take advantage of that.
Indians GM Mike Chernoff is our guest. Mike, how do you explain the ups and downs of Jose Ramirez? Is there a rational explanation to why he's been so good and so poor, kind of up and down?
I don't know that there is. You know, the work that he put in was so good even when he was slumping at the beginning of the year last year. His approach definitely changed, and we all saw that in the first half of the year, but I don't think his skills or his effort did. And so we felt like it was always going to come back. I'm not sure we really were too concerned that it wouldn't. Obviously, the production wasn't there in the first half, but there wasn't anything technically or fundamentally that was massively different. I think, you know, he probably got a little bit big and a little bit pull happy in his approach based on the number of home runs that he had hit the year before. And as soon as he pulled out of that, you know, he was in a great spot offensively, obviously, and put up a huge year despite such a bad first half.
Do you have, Mike, do you have some, you know, obviously the payroll was cut down last year from the year before, and there's some money that's come off the payroll here with Bauer gone, with Kipnis gone, and a few others. Do you have some financial flexibility to add in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the key to this is that ownership made huge investments in this team for a few years, right, as we traded for Andrew Miller, traded for Jay Bruce, took on their contracts, added Edwin Encarnacion. We stretched to levels we hadn't done before, and were able to push the team into the postseason for a few years. We know that we have to make sure our organization is in a healthy position, both talent-wise and financially, moving into the future. I mean, we're a small market team, and that's the reality of how to build a team as a small market team. There is not a set payroll number. It's more about how do we make sure we have a healthy present and future as an organization. So I think, you know, we are actively exploring a lot of different alternatives. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to say whether we will or won't have financial flexibility. It's more about what is the sort of value that is potentially out there and how can that help both the present and future of the organization.
You know, you said before that you have a hole at second base. I look at it and say you have two holes in the outfield. Do you look at it that way?
I think we feel like a bunch of guys stepped up in our outfield. You know, as we got younger out there, we got better. You saw Mercado come in May, and really he was kind of a spark plug for the team. We saw the way that Luplo played, especially against left-handed pitching last year. I think we'd like to give him a little bit more of an opportunity against righties. And then we have Jake Bowers, Brad Zimmer, Greg Allen, a bunch of other young guys that we feel like could really step in and take those jobs and run with them. So we will certainly look to complement the team in ways that we can, but we also don't want to impede the development of some of those young players. So I think we're really optimistic about, you know, the talent that we have there and hopefully what they can do in 2020.
Mike, you know, Nick Goody had a decent year for you. You guys let him go, and you changed your backup catcher from Plawecki to Sandy Leon. I know he's a pretty good defensive player. Talk about the, I know those aren't huge moves, but talk about those decisions, please.
Yeah, so Leon in particular, I think we felt like he just added something defensively for us in a backup role that was important. Roberto is obviously a tremendous defender and had a great offensive year last year. We felt like we wanted to find a way to target a guy like Sandy Leon, who is such a good defender that could help us on the days when Roberto is off and really control the running game, call a great game. He's tremendous with his game preparation. So we felt like it was a, you know, it's always challenging to lose a guy like Kevin Plawecki, who had been with us last year, but we felt like it was the right decision to go with Sandy for this year. In terms of Nick Goody, you know, these are the tough decisions you have to make as the winter goes on your roster. You know, you start to make small moves and the roster gets clogged. Nick Goody was arbitration eligible this year, and we felt like despite what he had provided to us, we wanted to give more opportunity to some of our young guys, so we felt like we had to part ways with him.
Mike, last thing, take us inside the winter meetings a little bit. I know they start next Monday, and what is that like, and has it changed over the years? Are guys, are you in the room, if you're talking trade with, you know, the Dodgers, are you in the room with Andrew Friedman? Are you guys, you know, are you texting? I mean, take us inside a little bit. How does that work?
The best thing that ever happened was last year, Tito, Chris, and I are sitting there ordering room service, waiting. For whatever reason, there was nothing going on, and we're staring at the screen as it is saying we are on the cusp of trading Corey Kluber to the Dodgers. So that often happens, and don't believe everything that you see on TV as the winter meetings are going on. But it's a hectic, really fun, semi-chaotic environment. There's a lot of texting, a lot of phone calls that happens, but there are also meetings that take place. We try to meet with basically every team and a lot of agents while we're there. So it's kind of a nonstop 4 days of, you know, packed days. You get up at 6 in the morning and you're up until, you know, midnight working through things. There are a lot of different scenarios that get kicked around, and you just have to sort of weigh through them and see what could potentially make sense.
Mike, we appreciate the time, man. Good luck at the winter meetings. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Great talking with you.
You too. Mike Chernoff, Indians GM.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.